Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur Podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It's Sunday, the 3rd of May, 2020. And on today's show, we've got a little treat for you. Now, got a little tweet from Andy Goldberg a couple of days ago. And he said, why don't we do a show with all the old Bell and Hare boys talking about the current situation at Tottenham? Well, I rolled my eyes and thought, oh, crying out loud, have I got to set this up? But all right then, just for Andy, we'll do it, no problem at all. So what we've got in store for you is myself, we've got Andy Goldberg, we've got the poet, Spurs poet Davey Elder, and we've also got Colin. Colin, what's your last name? McGee or something like that?
You know.
Yeah, McGee. Right, so what we'll do, we'll get straight into it, talking about Tottenham. Carl?
Yeah.
We'll start with you. Tottenham. Tell us.
Tell you what.
Tell us about Tottenham.
Isn't it great not having to cry every Saturday and worry about watching Match of the Day?
Yes.
Oh, this has been the best thing, the best run I've been had in years. But
let's start then with Spurs as we stand. Pochettino went, obviously. We had a good season last year, or some people say a terrible season. There seems to be no in between there. Obviously, Poch went, Mourinho came in. What are your thoughts?
Well, obviously, at the time, I think, you know, there was something going on. I know Pochettino's been in the news this week, things that he said about wanting to come back to the club, and I think it's brought it all home to us again, you know, what this man done for us. And funny, I messaged Davey about it, and I think I was near crying listening to him, and sort of going, right, well, I want this guy back. But look, it was what it was, and you know, we don't know the whole ins and outs of why things started to go wrong and why he had to move on. But look, Mourinho came in. I've stated before that I was very happy that Mourinho came in. Obviously, things haven't been fantastic with him. But again, as I've always said, we've got to let this guy get his own players in. That's my biggest thing. And my worry about the situation now is that, you know, what way is transfer windows going to work when football does come back? It might not even come back this year. It could be next year. You know, so what money is going to be there for him to bring in his players to change this squad? Because it needs to happen massively, in my opinion. You know, we really need a lot of new players to come in and to try and boost things up. But, you know, I think the only good thing is if we do get back, say, in a couple of months, you know, our injuries are cleared up, you know, we'll have some of our key players back, which definitely wasn't helping us there towards the season coming to that abrupt end. But we've just got to wait, but we need to back our managers. And I think when you listen to Pochettino, that I think deep down when you really read into what he's saying is I wasn't back. He needed to start a new project and wasn't given the money.
What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, I'd probably agree sort of everything that Colin just said. I think I think one of the problems is once Mourinho came on the scene, I think it's divided everybody. And I know when we spoke last time, we went back to this thing about saying, oh, well, you know, he come from Chelsea and we need to try and get round this where, you know, oh, because he's from Chelsea, we can't have him, or because he's from Arsenal, we can't have him. And I think it's a bit of a mindset, and I think it's become the norm with it, with all of us Spurs fans and everybody, that, you know, we could never go down that road. But I think you've got to give the guy a chance. I think, you know, he's inherited a squad which is a bit of an ageing squad, I think. Some of the players that are there, whether they want to be there or not, I don't know. And I think only time will tell. Once, you know, he has a chance to get his own players. But the reality with it is he going to be able to do that? You know, is there going to be scope for him to do that? Because past has taught us that, you know, the managers are not going to get loads and loads of money. And I don't know. That's my thought on it anyway.
Davey?
Yeah, I tend to agree with both Andy and Col. But like, what I would say as well is we all know that the manager has to be backed. Now, the managers in previous have had money. They've been allowed to spend money, but it's never been enough money that's going to take us to that elite level. Now, the problem that we have now is that Mourinho is a type of person that's going to earmark possibly 2, 3, 4 players. We could be looking at 200 million to get these 3 or 4 players. Given the current climate, are we going to be getting that type of money? Is there going to be transfers? Is there going to be a window? Is the club going to back Mourinho because of this, the current situation that we're in? Or are we going to be sitting here next year repeating the same thing over and over and over again? Not necessarily. It mightn't be even Mourinho anymore. It might be someone else. The board has to back the manager, has to give him what he wants. But are they going to use another excuse as it being the coronavirus or whatever it is? Oh, look, we don't have the money to spend because the NFL project has went belly up and we can't, you know, all sponsors and all, we've no money. So again, it's all down to the board. They are vital. It doesn't matter who's in charge, whether it be Mourinho, Pochettino, whoever. The board has to back us. The board has to move us forward. And the board has to match the ambitions on the pitch as what they've done off the pitch.
Carl?
Yeah?
Pochettino wasn't taking the cup seriously, as everybody keeps telling us. Why did he beat West Ham away last year, then beat Arsenal away last year, and then get us to penalties, only to tell the players to miss the penalties so we didn't win the League Cup?
Did he do that?
Yeah, because Pochettino doesn't take cups seriously. So he told Trippier to miss the penalty against Crystal Palace, and he was panicking that we were going to get to the final of the against Chelsea, so he told the guys to miss the penalties. That's right, isn't it?
No, I would doubt it very, very much.
So
for
he
that.
Does take cups seriously then?
Of course he does. You know, when you listen to him, I don't know if you guys, he was on a podcast there. I don't know whether it was, I only listened to it the other day. I forget the name of the podcast now. But, you know, when you listen to him, the guy is a winner. You know, he doesn't like to lose at anything. That's what he talks about. He spoke about this before. You know, he even wants to beat his own kids when he's playing a game with them in the back garden. But look, I don't know. As Davey was saying there as well, it comes down to our board. And I know if it's a pity Jason isn't on today, because I know Jason always would turn around and say, look, who's going to buy our club? You know, this is a big, big issue. But like, I look at the likes of the Newcastle situation that's going on at the minute, and I don't know if you guys have thought this. I'm sitting going, well, why did these guys not want to come in to buy us? Do you know what I mean? And I know that we have always sort of said, oh, we don't want this, you know, Russian billionaire oil tycoon coming in. But honestly, guys, it's the only way that we're ever going to win anything is by getting this kind of money into our club. And you just look at Newcastle, and I think they'll be a bit like an Everton in a way, where they will have money, but they're still not probably going to attract the top players. But if we had that kind of money, I think that we could, especially with someone like Mourinho, who obviously has a lot of contacts, and I think a lot of players will want to come and play for him. But it comes down to, are we going to back this manager, pay the wages and get these players in? Because if we don't, I think we're just going to be on this same sort of story for another 4 or 5 years. You know, we get spoilt with Pochettino, in my opinion. Don't think any of us, whenever we finished sort of our last podcast, Steve, you know, just as Pochettino was really coming in, I don't think any of us in our wildest dreams believed what a 3 or 4 years we were going to have. But unfortunately, it all came to an end. We could be on the same path again. We need backed. We need backed, and that's the end of the story.
So, Davey, what Cole's saying there, come to you in a second, Andy.
Yeah.
Davey, what Cole's saying there is that when we got to the final of the Champions League, it's Levy's fault that Sissoko stuck his arm out and gave away the penalty.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, look, as much as I'm sure we all liked Pochettino, and we all, he took us on this journey which was unprecedented for, you know, in the past 20 years, but his PR team didn't really help him, because he, again, as much as we loved him, he did come out with some of the most ridiculous comments and statements at the wrong time. You know, the stuff about the Champions League final, the stuff about, you know, the cups aren't important. Like, as fans, that's not stuff we want to hear. The club's agenda might be completely different, but as a fan, you don't want to hear your manager saying, oh, if we won the Champions League, I'm leaving, or I'm not going to prioritise these cups because getting Champions League football is the be-all and end-all. As fans, we want a trophy. We want cups. We want silverware. Pochettino, for all his good work, he used to undo his good work with maybe one or two silly comments, and then the press all jumped on it, because Pochettino was going to Manchester United, he was going to Real Madrid, he was going everywhere. Anywhere that the press could link Pochettino to, he was going. And that kind of unsettled us. I don't know what you guys think, but I used to think, Poch, less talking and just keep doing what you're doing on the pitch. But the interviews and the stuff, sometimes it got quite irritating. But as you say, it was all Levy's fault. Champions League final was all Levy's fault. Every single bit of it.
So Andy, I agree.
So Andy, what Davey's, I'm going to pick out a little bit Davey said there about Poch, in the fact that he, Davey said that he wants to win trophies, okay? So back in 2008, we won the League Cup, and then we didn't win a game for the rest of the season. And then in that summer, Berbatov and Keane both wanted to leave. So what Davey wants is for us to win the League Cup next year, finish mid-table, and then all our best players to leave. Do you want that as well, Andy?
No, not at all. I think, do you know what, right? As a Spurs fan, you know, all of us have been Spurs fans since we can remember. I don't care what I win. I think it's great to win anything, the League Cup, the FA Cup, whatever. And I think it seems to be this perception, oh, well, we can only, you know, because we've been involved in so many games, the League Cup doesn't really matter and this doesn't matter. For me as a fan, you know, in all the years that I used to follow Spurs, you know, home and away, and, you know, be up in Barnsley on a Tuesday night when it's pissing down with rain.
No swearing, Andrew.
Oh, apologise. you know, you want to win something. And I think that, you know, we should go into every game wanting to be successful. And I think what that does as well, that breeds that confidence, you know, that you can do that, you know. That's my thought on it. Steve.
So Carl, Andy wants to play all our best players in every single game, run them into the ground, so that by the time we get to February, we go out of all the cups and don't finish top four. I mean, come on, Cole. Tell him where he's going wrong.
You are a wind-up merchant, Steve. You really are.
I wonder what you're going to say there.
Look, I think the biggest thing is, as well, with Mourinho, I think that was my thing when Mourinho came on board, was that the guy is a winner. I think that's one thing about him. And I've said this to other people that I've chatted to, even non-Spurs fans. You know, I honestly believe this guy didn't take this job without some kind of guarantee that he was going to be able to, you know, to bring new players in, get rid of what he thinks is the deadwood. And I think that's the big thing that I'm holding on to anyhow about Mourinho, is that there's no way this guy has come into Spurs, you know, putting his reputation of being a big Chelsea man on the line without some kind of guarantee that, you know, that he's going to be backed at the club. So, look, I think that's one thing that we can all hold on to. We'll have to wait and see what way this, you know, the transfer window ends and what way football's going to be once we get over this. And hopefully he's backed. I think he will bring in players. I think you mentioned on the podcast that we done, Steve. You know, Mourinho's bound to be able to call someone, say like Ramos at Real Madrid. I think it was you that said it.
Yeah.
You know, and say, look, you've won everything. You've done it all. You know, you must fancy coming and testing yourself in this Premier League. Why did you come to Spurs for a couple of years? Come to London. You know, come to the best stadium in the world. You know, and get back. And you could maybe see, only because it's Mourinho, that he might be able to pull something like that off, yeah, where previous managers can't. And I think we always talked about over the years about this young, great squad that we had. But I always believed that we lacked having winners in this team and guys that have been there and done it. And maybe that's what Mourinho, because, you know, we'll go through team later on probably. When you look at the young players we still have and top players that we have at this club, if we can add in, you know, even two guys, maybe early 30s, round about 29, that have been there and done it at these big clubs, I reckon Mourinho's the man to bring in these players. And they can sit there in the changing room and show these guys, like, this is what we need to do today. You know, if we're winning 1-0 at half time or losing 2-1, they're the kind of faces in the changing room, you know, that can go out and win you these games. And I do think that we are lacking those experienced winners in our squad. So hopefully Mourinho can do that.
Well, do you remember when Nabet came in? And he was fantastic, wasn't he? Playing alongside, yeah, Andy King. He was absolutely terrific. And if this Godin or whatever they're saying, you know, fancies it. Fantastic, you know, and Willian obviously had his issue,
yeah,
coming and having a medical at Spurs and then going there. But the guy's a brilliant player. I every time I watch him, I think he's absolutely fantastic. And again, you've got to picture the Spurs dressing room, and you know, Harry Kane sitting there and he's looking over and he's looking at Sessegnon, and going, right, okay, yeah, the lad has been great in training, he's a good new prospect. Or is he looking over at Willian, you know, at half time when you're 1-0 down and going, oi, you know, pass me the, you know, that those sort of conversations going on,
yeah,
with these winners. And I haven't got a problem with it, whatever age these players are, if they can still do it, definitely bring it in, bring them in. But Davey, you know, going, I mean, just looking at the last you know, couple of months. So Mourinho comes in. I am with Colin on that. I'm like, okay, love Pochettino, but Mourinho, a winner, absolutely. And Andy alluded to the fact that this Chelsea and Arsenal connection, which we simply have to get rid of now. You know, it just so happens that our two biggest rivals are our two also two fantastically successful clubs. Well, tough luck. You know, we're going to have to, you know, bite the bullet, like Arsenal do when they buy Chelsea players and vice versa, and just go, look, if we want the best players, we've got to buy them from our rivals. And when it comes to Mourinho. But here's the thing. We get Mourinho in, a winner, and look at the Norwich game. The Norwich game is a home game against a team that is battling for relegation. They put out a second string, as far as I'm concerned. They weren't interested in the game. We go 1-0 up, and this winner, Mourinho, doesn't see the game out. How is that? How can you not look at that and go, wait there, what's going on, Davey?
Well, I suppose, just jumping back for a quick second, we are talking about a Mourinho that went to Inter Milan, sort of struggled through his first season, earmarked three players in the summer. The following year, they went on and won the Champions League. So this is the person that we've brought into the club.
Cole, Andy, can you see Davey? He's got a pen and paper there. He's making notes. See,
yeah.
This is the type of professionalism I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, you see, you're not a poet for no reason, you know what I mean?
I know, I've got a wee notebook too.
Yes, have I?
Making notes, hang on a minute. Right, go on, carry on, Davey, sorry.
So yeah, look, he is a winner, but he, you know, he has to,
So earmarked three players.
Yeah, earmarked three players. Oh. The following season, they went on and they won the Champions League. All right, so he knows how to do things, but he has to get backed as well. Now, the Norwich game, we can all look at Mourinho. We can all say, didn't see it out, didn't do this, didn't do that. As a player, when you step across that white line, there's not one player against Norwich that came off that pitch and should have held their heads up high. Like, the players have to take responsibility as well. Oh, look, hold on, sorry. Yeah, well, like, there was obviously frustration there as well. But it's definitely, like, the players have to take a bit of, you know, thing about it too, and have to put their hands up and say, look, we've made a mess. We've made an error. Mourinho, he hasn't really got much options from the bench after, you know, he's kind of limited as well because his hands are tied. So you can only work with what you have. The Norwich game was a bit of a disaster all round, in fairness. It's just going to be interesting to see what kind of Spurs side we get back after this thing closes down, because you've got your players back. You've got Kane back, Son's back. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of team and what the attitude is whenever we do come back. Let's see if the players are going to fight for Mourinho, and let's see if the fitness regimes and everything else is going to pay off, because at the minute, he's working with a squad that has run off their feet and have been for the last couple of seasons. Then any additions that they have made haven't really set the world alight. Like, Bergwijn, decent enough player, has a bit of promise. They brought Fernandes in to try and bolster the midfield. Again, a promising young player, but not that player that's going to come in and have the effect that the likes of an Edgar Davids had when he arrived, or even the likes of Naibet when he arrived. Ledley King will tell you that Naibet is probably the biggest influence on his career. Edgar Davids came in and changed the whole philosophy of attitude towards training, towards playing. So let's give this man a bit more time, and let's get in the players that he wants to bring in, and let's see what happens then.
And I'll chuck a name in there, Davey. Danny Alves was available, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I thought yeah, what a perfect guy to bring in at the end of his career, to come into that Spurs dressing room and tell everyone how you know what it's like to win, and just be an influence, even if his legs have gone. I don't know. He went back to Brazil, I think. But why on earth we didn't go for him? Just to raise the profile of the club, and he was perfect for Spurs, especially because we desperately needed a right back. Andy, so. Mourinho lost the Norwich game. We lost the Norwich game. Mourinho is assessing it all. He's a master. Yeah. So Davey's saying he's a master. He's going to he's assessing it all at the moment, and then he's going to get three players in, and then we're going to win the Champions League next year. What do you reckon? Do you agree with Davey there?
Yeah. Why not? I think. The key thing behind all of this, and what I don't care what anyone says, it will be down to what sort of money he's going to have, and is Daniel Levy going to back him? I think he will to a degree. I don't think he'll back him to what we think he's going to be backed. I think jury's out for me on that one. I think it will all be dependent on you know what he's going to have available to him. But I agree that we need to maybe go for this time round, go for something that there's somebody that's got a bit more experience, or somebody who's actually, you know, is a winner. Like you mentioned Ramos there. I mean, it'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Something like that. We've got some players in the team now that are, you know, that are aging, but we've also got some young players. But it needs to be all knitted together.
Ramos. The thing about someone like him is it would wind up our nearest and dearest rivals so much, wouldn't it, to get someone as who's on equal par of hatred as Mourinho. I love it. You know, get these guys in. You know, it's all about entertainment. And look, we're the club that's most hated anyway at the moment. So let's just get more of them in. So,
I think we've always been hated. Nobody's ever liked us. And no. but that's the way it is, isn't it? And you know, but that's the good thing about it. I like it when everybody hates us because it, you know, good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So, Cole, what we'll do, one more round of the current Spurs situation. Anything more you want to say? And then what we're going to do is we're going to do our cut. If we were playing in a month's time or whatever, we'll do our starting 11 subs, yep. And then we'll see who we left out. And then if we've got time, we'll do our best 11 we've ever seen. But let's just do, for now, one final thing. If you want to talk about either the current Spurs side, the last couple of months, or even whether you think football should come back, or, you know, I mean, it's political and everything, and yeah. We can get into conspiracy theories. I mean, just before you go, I don't see how, for example, you can Harry Kane can go and play football in 6 weeks' time, and then on the Sunday, his missus says, "I'll just pop down Tesco's Extra and get us a pint of milk," and he's got to stand outside in a queue when on the Saturday he's been in, you know, someone's arm for 90 minutes. So I don't know how that'll work, but what do you reckon, Cole?
Yeah, look, I think this is the problem at the minute. It's so difficult for us all to talk about, you know, what is going to happen, because none of us really know what way things are going to be. Personally, and this is not an anti-Liverpool thing, if there's any Liverpool fans listen to this, because they're all jumping all over Twitter saying, "Oh, it's only because nobody wants us to win the league." You know, I think I said before, I'm surprised.
That is true to a certain extent.
Well, it's a wee bit true. but I'm more surprised that Spurs aren't top of the league at the minute, and it's us that are going to suffer from it. But I think, personally for me, I don't see how they can finish the season. I really don't. And, you know, even for it to go behind closed doors, just to finish it off so Liverpool can be champions, you know, with Champions League places, with relegation places. You know, you look at the likes of Leeds. You know, imagine being a Leeds fan. At the minute, you have waited so long to get back to the Premier League. You know, are they not going to promote them? I really don't know. But I think it's so hard to talk about what kind of a Spurs we're going to have, because we don't know. We really don't know, just with what's going on. You know, I can honestly see that they might just go, "Look, there's no transfers at all for any clubs. No one's going to be allowed to buy anybody until next summer." I can see that happening as well. And again, for clubs like ourselves, that's an absolute nightmare. Because I think from Mourinho's come in, that's what we've all been waiting on, is, right, let's get to this transfer window in the summer. I think I was really excited thinking about, oh, let's see what Mourinho's going to do. I don't think we're going to see it at the minute. I really don't. But look, the most important thing is that everybody's safe.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest, it's been strange for this 5 or 6 weeks. I actually haven't really missed football. I did for about the first 2 weeks. See, from there, I actually haven't even thought about it. I've enjoyed watching some old games on Sky Sports, but I'm just getting on with things, and I'm not worried about football. I'm not worried. You know, I think everybody's health is the most important thing. So whatever's right there has to be done.
Davey, can you watch the Spurs-Ajax game?
I watched the last 15 minutes.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I mean, can you watch it and enjoy it?
Even now, no. No.
Oh, you can't enjoy it?
No, I watched it about 4 or 5 days ago.
Yeah.
And the Ajax goalkeeper had the ball. It was the 95th minute. It was 2-2. And I was shaking. I had sweats. And it was like, Spurs are the only team that could lose a match that was taking place last year. So, yeah. I can't. I enjoy the last when the whistle goes, but that's it.
So when Moura scores that goal, for me, full disclosure, I still get shivers. I still smile. I still get a lump in my throat. But listening to other podcasts, a lot of them are saying, "I can't watch that because we lost." That's the final. And Anthony Costa was on last week and he said, I don't want to watch that game because we lost the final. So I'm thinking to myself, well, what games are you watching? You can't just be watching Spurs v Leicester, because quite frankly, who watches that game apart from the last 30 seconds? You can watch the Chelsea game and subsequently, of course, you can watch the semi-final. But is that what, you know, when with no football on, are we only watching matches that where we've won the whole tournament? Or are we watching Spurs beat West Ham 4-3 with the Stauteri goal? Well, you can't watch that because we didn't win the league. Is that what we're saying? I mean, is it the new call? Do you know, like when Levy's wants to do this, Levy wants to do that, so I'm not going to go to Spurs anymore. Yeah, oh yeah, you're cool, aren't you? Is it the new call to say I can't watch the Ajax game because we didn't win the tournament?
Well, I watched us beat Liverpool 2-1 at Anfield, Sheringham, Clansman.
Yeah.
And the FA Cup. Should we lost that? Yesterday I watched the 87 Cup final.
Yeah.
We lost that as well.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, football is about moments and it's about memories. And, you know, because we lost the next match, it's not going to stop me from enjoying the match that I'm currently watching, whether it be from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever. Like, I agree, there seems to be this thing where, oh no, you know, it's not cool to watch that game because we lost the next game. No, that's a little rubbish. Yeah. I enjoy watching us play a game of football, a good game of football, watching us win, watching the goals, and even if we don't win, I'd still watch it. You know, it's about enjoying the moments. It's about making memories. That's it. Football's about supporting your club. And you want your club to win. Of course you want your club to be competitive. But, you know, you think about the memories. It's for each individual, from the four of us, like, you could list out a full page of memories that this club has given to you individually. And you'll look back at them and they could be some of the greatest days in your life at that time. So, you know, nobody's going to tell me what I can and can't watch and what I can and can't enjoy. You know, it is what it is.
That
it's crazy.
That sums it up for me. Absolutely sums it up. One of the best feelings I've ever had is watching Nico Kranjčar smack the ball in against Bolton to win 2-1. You know, in a nothing game, middle of October, and then only to look up at the screen and see Newcastle 4, Arsenal 4. Well, yeah, I can't describe that feeling. It was wonderful. Then you got someone going, well, no, you can't enjoy that because we didn't win the league. We didn't win a trophy. What's the point? And you go, goodness. Hey, cheer up. And final thoughts before we get into these teams.
Sorry, Andy, not to jump across here, but just what Davey's saying about memories, and Davey's here, and that's why I want to say it. Champions League final day, Davey.
Like,
we will never, even though we lost, I'll never forget waking up that morning. Me and Davey were rooming in the same hotel. You know, woke up to the Champions League music that Davey was playing in the bedroom, dancing around the room with the flag. You know, and okay, we lost, but I will never forget that day. And, you know, with Davey doing that, waking up going, oh my God, we're in the Champions League final.
Absolutely.
Do you know, and then the whole day that went with it, I know you were in Madrid, Steve.
Yeah.
But, you know, round Tottenham, there must have been easy 150,000, 200,000 people in Tottenham that day. It was about 27, 28 degrees. We were all wearing shorts. Me and Davey had to go down to the nearest sports direct to get shorts because we came in our jeans, you know. And so memories, and no one will ever take that away from me. You know, none of us ever thought we'd get the Champions League final.
Yeah.
You know. Sorry, Andy. Sorry.
That's all right.
Go on, mate.
Yeah. Just to sort of finish that out, really. I think sort of going on what you were saying, Colin, all of us really, nobody really knows when football's going to be back. I think all the time that social distancing's in place, I can't really see the Premier League restarting. I mean, there's been lots of talk about that. I can't see it really. And until such times things change, then obviously then things can be put in place. So, but I think it'd be good because obviously when we do get back, we have got players back, and then we just have to go from there, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, let's pretend for a minute that those greedy pigs get football back on the road, and even though you know, we have to social distance, we're still going to allow Toby Alderweireld to you know, spit on a pitch away. By the way, if they sorry Toby, I didn't mean that. They play these games, right? They've got the TV cameras there. There's no crowd, right? Dele Alli is through on goal, and Harry Kane is open, right? And he Dele Alli decides to take it on his own, and he misses, okay? Harry Kane then shouts over to Dele, "Oi, I was open, you effing da-da-da-da." for all the cameras, you know, and we could hear it because there's no crowd. Within 30 seconds, everyone's going, oh my goodness, what is all this about? So that's another one they're going to have to tell him. No spitting on the pitch. You know, no wiping your nose on the pitch. Everyone's got to have a hanky or whatever. And no swearing. That would be interesting, won't it?
But you see, sorry, Steve, you see that, you see that situation where, like, the microphones are going to pick up the players speaking in empty stadiums. Yeah. The Emirates has been like that for years.
Right. Here is my first 11 when we're back. Lloris in goal. Left back, I've gone with Tundungi. No, sorry, right back Tundungi. Sorry. Have I pronounced that right?
Tangi.
Tangi or...
Tangi.
Doesn't matter, we know who you mean.
Not yeah. Tandanga.
Oh, Jaffa Tandanga.
Tandanga, right. Edit that out. Right, two centre-backs for Tongan and Toby. I've gone with the old favourites. And then Davis. Two in midfield, Ndombele and Sissoko. Three behind Kane, Son, Dele and Lo Celso. My bench is Gazzaniga, Winks, Dyer, Lamella, Sanchez, Bergwijn and Moura, which means that there is no place in the squad for Skip, Parrott, Sessegnon, Foyth, Aurier or Fernandez. What you got?
Okay. Okay. Slightly different. I've went for, obviously, Lloris. I've went for Aurier at right back, Toby and Tanga. Or Tanganga at centre half, and I've put Jan in the left back. I actually think with Jan, just the way things are going, I still think he's probably the best left back that we have at the club.
All right.
I've went three in midfield of Sissoko, Winks and Lo Celso.
Right.
And then Dele Alli just in behind Kane and Son. So that would be my starting 11. So I've got Lucas on the bench, I've Ndombele on the bench, the reason being the guy needs to prove himself. Really, so frustrated with this guy. Really am. Lamella, Sanchez, Bergwijn, Davies and Gazzaniga. So I haven't got everybody here, but I'm leaving out the likes of Sessegnon, Eric Dier, Michel Vorm, Foyth, Skip and Jedson Fernandez.
Okay, so big omission there. Dier is the big one you've left out there.
Yeah.
What about you, Davey?
Okay, so I've gone for Hugo and Nets. I've also went for Serge Aurier at right back, Ben Davis at left back, and I've went with Toby and Davinson Sanchez as the centre back partnership.
Tongan.
No Vertonghen.
Okay.
I've went for Sissoko and Ndombele in the middle.
Same as me.
With Dele, Lo Celso and Son, and then Kane up front.
So similar.
Yeah.
What you got? Who have you left out completely, Davey?
Well, I've got my bench separate, but I'll tell you who I've left out completely. Sessegnon, Foyth, Fernandez, Skip, Dier, and Vertonghen.
Ooh. Okay. Vertonghen not even on the bench?
Wow.
Ah.
No.
I love the rumours that Vertonghen's going to go to Inter Milan. Right, so all the rumours about that, Ericsson's reading all those rumours going, what? That's the reason I left. Right, go on then, Andy, what you got?
Right, so I've gone for Lloris in goal. I've gone for Serge Aurier at right back and Davis at left back.
Yeah.
I've gone for Sanchez and Toby, centre backs. Then I've gone like a sort of a bit of a mishmash here. So I've gone like a bit of diamonds. So I've gone Sissoko, and then Dele Alli, Lo Celso, and Kane, and then Son and Parrott.
Right.
Oh, Parrott, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then on the bench I've got Moura, Skip, Gazzaniga, Sessegnon, Fernandez, Bergwijn, and Lamella. So I've left out the likes of Dyer and co.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, brilliant. Well, what's wrong with that then, Cole? any one of those teams. That's 30 points from our last 10 games, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, I think we're all very, very close to having the same lineups. You know, my biggest one there is obviously a couple of you guys who went for Dembele. I think at the minute the guy just hasn't proved himself to start. If we were going a game this week, you know, he hasn't showed any sort of fitness or. But here, what a player! What a player we have on our hands! And I know there's these rumours about him going to Barcelona, and they're going to give us two players. Forget that. I think the guy. I want to see this guy given at least another year. You know, we haven't spent £64 million on this guy for him. You know, just to be there, and then all of a sudden, you know, no one likes him. I think the biggest thing is that Mourinho. I know the two of them got in a bit of trouble for it, but you know, it seemed to be Mourinho was doing a bit with him here. You know, during this lockdown period. But when you watch that guy play, you know, what a player I think we'll have in our hands if we can sort him out. But at the minute, if we were playing this weekend. I just couldn't, or next weekend, I just couldn't start him at the minute, you know. So,
yeah.
But other than that, I think we're all the same. And if you look at all our benches, we're nearly all the same, bar Davey probably putting Vertonghen in.
Yeah.
But, you know, the likes of an Eric Dyer, I love Eric Dyer. I think he's been great for us. But, look, he's had his day. We're not going to win anything with an Eric Dyer. We're not going to win anything with a Skip, with a Foyth, with a Fernandez is so wee flices, so it's hard to be critical of him, you know. Even Lamella. The only reason Lamella's on my bench is because I just love the way he just goes and gets stuck in. And he does play for the shirt. It's just a pity the guy just never has been what we all hoped, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that's very unfair on Lamella because he was touted as being Bale's replacement. He was never Bale's replacement.
No.
You know, it was very unfair. He is limited as to what he can do, but listen, the guy gives his heart and soul for that team.
Yeah, 100%.
Andy, is that team that you've picked there, is that beating Arsenal?
Yeah, definitely, I think. Always. Definitely. The reason I stuck Troy Parrott in there, because he's done really well. Yeah, he's done really well, hasn't he? You know, not obviously playing in the first team, he's done really well. I'd give the guy a go, really. I think, you know, he scores goals. You know, whether he's going to do that on the big stage, I don't know. But that's more reasoning behind him there. So, yeah, I like Troy Parrott. I've seen him play as well, so.
He's an exciting prospect, definitely. And such a young kid, I do believe that Mourinho will probably loan him out. I can see that maybe happening in the next season or so.
Yeah.
Maybe to say the likes of a top championship club, maybe, you know, say like a Leeds United but you know, if they do, the guy needs to go and play.
I thought he was going to say West Ham then.
Well, hopefully.
Hey, rivalries aside.
I'm sorry.
But, you know, I agree, you know, it's exciting to have a young lad like that in the squad. But I think there's been some off field issues as well, which I don't think has helped them. Obviously, there's a lot of stories about, but the biggest thing that kid done wrong was going to Dubai in that winter week. You know, I say to my Christopher, obviously, who plays football, you know, at that age, you should be saying, no, all the big guys are away with their families. I'm staying here to train. Do you know what I mean? Because he was really in and around the squad at that stage.
But Dad, you
know?
I want to go to Ibiza. All the lads are going to Ibiza, Dad.
Yeah, not happening. Not if you want to make it.
Are we also here?
Yeah.
Right, brilliant. Okay, well, let's get into our... by the way, our next managers will be Woodgate and Keane. Putting it out there now.
No chance.
Putting it out there now. Right, so, best ever team that we saw play. So here's my team. Ray Clements in goal. Back four, Stevie Carr, Ledley King, Vertonghen, Bale. Midfield, Ginola, Gazza, Dembele, Waddle. Up front, Klinsmann, and Jason Dazelle. Sorry, Harry Kane.
Good old Jason.
Oh, what's your best 11?
What's your subs?
I didn't do subs.
Oh, right, I have.
Yeah, so have I.
So have I.
Right, mine is obviously, as I spoke about the last time I was on, I didn't get over to see Spurs till quite late on because of obviously having to fly and whatever. So, unfortunately, I didn't see a lot of the guys that you and Andy would have seen. But I'm going to go for Hugo Lloris, Stephen Carr, Ledley King, Toby, and I would go for Danny Rose. If we think about Danny Rose in those heyday, unbelievable. Yeah. You know, no matter what anybody says, he's the best left back I've seen. Yeah. I've got Gareth Bale, Ginola, and Gazza, who I didn't see play for Spurs, but I've seen him play for Rangers. So I'm putting Gazza in there. And then I have to go for a top three of Son, Kane, and Jermaine Defoe.
Yes.
So I'd be. But here, where do you hear this for a bench? And I was raging because I listened to someone showing. I don't know if it was Andy that picked him, Paul Robinson and Nets. I forgot all about Paul Robinson when I'd done the last show. What a goalkeeper. Yeah. So Paul Robinson, Robbie Keane, Jan Vertonghen, Berbatov, Van de Vaart, Moussa Dembele, and Christian Eriksen. Not a bad sub bench.
Brilliant. Davey, what you got?
Okay, so I've gone for Hugo and Nets as well.
Yeah.
Stephen Carr right back, Ledley King, Gary Mabbott, and luckily, I was lucky enough to see him play a few times, but I'm going for Chrissy Hughton.
Yeah. Okay.
Midfield is Ginola and Bale on the wings.
Yeah.
Gazza in the middle. Beside Hoddle. And then I've went for Klinsmann and Kane up front.
Brilliant.
My bench is Robinson, Chrissy Waddle, Modric, Robbie Keane, Sheringham, and Toby Alderweireld.
Unbelievable.
And I had to put him in. I don't know if you can see him. I had to put him in there.
Oh, hi, Glenn.
That's my wee Glenn.
You've left now Jason Candy, Davey.
Well, yeah. Left out isn't the word I would probably use for Jason Candy.
I swear he was playing poorly on purpose because no professional footballer can be that bad. Andy, what you got, mate?
Right, so in nets I've got Pat Jennings, right back Stephen Carr, and then two centre backs Ledley King and Richard Gough.
Yeah.
Left back I've gone the same as I say. I've gone Danny Rose. I think you know, brilliant. And then through the middle, I was going to say 4-4-2. So through the middle, then I got Gareth Bale, Chris Waddle, Gascoigne, and Hoddle. And up front, I went with Kane and Klinsmann. On bench, I've got Paul Robinson. And then I've got Toby and Jan. And then I've got Sheringham and Lineker. And that's my team.
It's amazing when you hear people rhyming off those names that have played for us, and the names that none of us have mentioned. I'm sitting looking at, you know, I just love Jermaine Defoe, but I'm looking at, I love Terry Sheringham, Robbie Keane, Klinsmann, but I couldn't leave Harry Kane out, you know. And it is amazing the players that have come through this club, you know. It's fantastic.
You could just read, I mean, you know, players like Tony Galvin, you know, mm-hmm. Graham Roberts, Mickey Hazard, you know, he's from that time, you know, he's brilliant.
Like even I even kind of was debating the likes of Clive Allen, like Ozzy. Like I seen Ozzy play. You know, granted it was in the later years, but like Ardiles was what a player.
I mean, I don't know about you, Steve, but I was lucky enough to see Ardiles play. I remember went to his testimonial when Maradona played.
Yeah.
Spurs. Oh, man. It's just fantastic. So
yeah. Cool. And look, sorry, Steve, jumping on while it's fresh in people's memories. If you watch the 87 Cup final, which I did watch yesterday as well.
I'd never seen it back before.
And I actually shouted to the wife, who probably couldn't care less. I shouted, how did we not win this? How did we not win the league? Like, Clive Allen was outstanding in the game. Did you notice some of the guys didn't have the sponsorship on their jerseys?
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Whenever I think it was actually Gary Mabbutt and Richard Goff. I think it was more the defence. And I was laughing as I watched it going, could you imagine that in today's day and age, a sponsorship not being on a kit?
Yeah.
You know, it was Chris Waddle.
We battered them.
Chris Waddle was unbelievable. Did you see the pace?
Yes.
Oh, unbelievable.
I better do this before we finish because Jace, although he's not on the show, he did send in his best ever 11, which was what Jason does is he puts initials, so we might have to decipher some of these.
Oh, yes.
Barsley, so that's Ray Clements.
Yeah.
SP, well, that's Stevie Perriman.
Stevie Perriman.
GM, yeah. Gary Mabbutt.
Gary Mabbutt.
LK.
Yeah, Ledley King.
CH. Yeah.
Chris Hughton.
Chris Hughton.
OA.
Ozzy Ardiles.
Yeah. GH.
Glenn O'Brien.
Graham Hoddle.
CW.
Chris Waddle.
Chris Waddle.
GB.
Gareth Bale.
TS.
Kenny Shannon.
HK.
Gary Doherty.
Gary Doherty.
He said, Andy Booth. Mainly Teddy put Robbo in midfield because he wants Graham Roberts to be in there. Again, you say there, Carl, we leave these players, you know, no mention for Robbo and so many other players.
And Kyle Walker, I nearly put Kyle Walker in.
Oh, no, he frustrated me.
No, but, seeing his day, like, I'll never forget sitting watching that guy in full action. Like, it was scary. It really was scary. And I was gutted whenever he left us.
Yeah.
Really was. Like, if you think of him and, you know, you look at that team from, was it 3 years ago when we went on beating at White Hart Lane? Like, what a sight. Yeah. What a sight. You know, it was scary and it's just so frustrating the way that we never won it.
Of them was decent goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Radford was great for us.
Yeah. I know.
And I remember classic Eric the Viking. What a goalie.
Yeah.
He was a great keeper.
Yeah.
He was good for us.
So, look, we've been all right. All right, boys.
It's been great.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, it's been good. Good fun.
One more round. Anything else you want to say, Davey?
Look, I suppose football has kind of just fallen, you know, back, and it's not really in the forefront of everybody's minds at the moment. But I suppose, look, we just have to wait and see when it gets back. You know, people should be... People shouldn't be expecting miracles when the football comes back, but it's realistically it's going to be a slow, gradual process. You know, look, we just have to keep the faith. We just have to hope that the board does the right thing and you know, backs the players. We can tie whatever young players we have down to the contracts. And look, if we're sitting here next year and football is still being played behind closed doors, as long as you're all safe, your families are all safe, and everybody's healthy and well, that's all we can ask. As I say, I haven't really missed football that much. I probably will look forward to it starting again, but I'm not going to get stressed or whatever the way I used to. It is what it is, and we'll just have to see what the future holds.
Andy?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me onto the show. It's been great catching up with you guys. Okay, but obviously I know you sort of put the thing together, so many thanks for that, and it's great catching up with you guys. Haven't seen you for such a long time. Yeah, football will come back when it will come back. It's good for everyone to stay safe, and in these times, and just obviously take care of you, take care of your families. Yeah, so and I hate Arsenal.
We know that, Andy. We know that. Yeah, as you know, as Andy.
I'm going to give you the last word. You always get the last word, but here we go.
But today I'm the main man on the show, as you know, Steve.
He is the talent. I've always said you're the talent.
But as Andy said there, I think what I really enjoyed about this, especially having Andy Goldberg on, because obviously I see Davey, and we're chatting yourself, Steve, but you know, having Andy on is fantastic. You know, one of the nicest guys I've met, you know, in all my times flying over the Spurs, and really look forward to seeing you when all this is over. And, you know,
definitely.
Me and Davey and Andy and Steve, we all have our Bell and Her t-shirts with us today that I got made in 2011. You know, we used to listen to the Tottenham Football Fancast, which with Kev. And, you know, I miss Kev. I don't hear about him, see about him. You know, Kev and Andy and those guys.
Cole, I see Kev about once a year. I just bump into him around Tottenham.
Yeah.
And the last time I saw him was at the new stadium. And honestly, we chatted for an hour and we didn't stop laughing. And it was he's such.
Yeah, you need try and get him on. Try and get him on, Steve. Because do you know what? And Davey will agree with me. You know, this is what made Spurs for me over all the years. Listen to you guys, Steve. You were on it. Jason was on the podcast. I know we came over, I got these t-shirts made for all the guys. It's amazing that Davey and yourself and Andy were wearing them, we still got them. And, you know, we all made great friends there, you know, Martin Heiser and Dan Jones. Sorry if I've missed anybody out, but, you know, they were brilliant days. And
well,
as Andy Davey's,
Cummings was the guy who...
Edit. I know he got number 2 and Edit on the back. We all got nicknames on the back of our t-shirts.
He was the guy that actually started the Tottenham Football Fancast.
Right, okay. Yeah,
Andy Cummings. I spoke to him.
I
do keep in contact with Andy. So I'll tap him up for you, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I think, as Davey said there, you know, football, yep, well, it'll come back and, you know, we'll all get on. We'll all try not to be as angry anymore, probably. But memories is the best thing, you know, and memories of like meeting you guys. Us, you know, me and Davey are both from Northern Ireland. And, you know, for us guys to come over, meet all you guys, your diehard Spurs fans. You know, whenever I first came over, I probably hated Man United because all my mates were Man United. And then I started to realise how much everybody hated Arsenal. And then that was me turned. I couldn't care less about any other team. I just hated Arsenal. I remember coming home and going, right, that's it. I hate this Arsenal team. You know, so for us Irish guys to come over, it was different. It was different, you know. So, great memories, and it's great to be a Spurs fan.
Great stuff. All right then, boys.
Yes, come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, come on, you Spurs. Nice to speak to you all.
See you later.
Today, guys. All the best. Lots of love to you all.
Because we beat the Arsenal. We're off to Wembley because we beat the Arsenal. Yeah.